Good morning. Trust and pray everybody is doing well on a, I'm going to call it a beautiful Lord's Day, because any day that the Lord gives us a chance to be able to get up, it's a beautiful day. Amen? That means He's not done with us. That means He's got plans for us, and He has brought you here today so that we can have this opportunity to gather in His name and to gather around His Word, to learn, to grow, and to be challenged from His Word. So once again, we are glad that you are here. As always, we're doing the pandemic greeting. Look at somebody around you, wave at them, and say, good morning. All right, if you're in the sanctuary, look over at somebody next to you, say good morning. If you're outside in the parking lot, look over at the car next to you and wave or blow the horn, get their attention. If you're in our online community, be sure to say hello to somebody along the way, even if it's after this particular point, because we know that it takes a little bit of time for folks to gather, even in our online community. So be sure to say a big hearty hello to someone there. And we are so tickled to have you with us today as we worship our Lord in spirit and in truth. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer as we begin this morning. Father, we want to come to you thanking you and praising you for the opportunity. Lord, I pray that we never take for granted the opportunities that we have to be able to come together as your body, Lord, to study your word, to just come to you and lift up our prayers before you. Now, Lord, as we prepare ourselves to hear from the Holy Spirit, Lord, I just ask that you would help us to clear our minds. Father, I know there are many distractions in our hearts and in our lives. There are many distractions from the day-to-day work that we need to do or the issues that are going on in our lives. But Father, for these moments, I pray that you will help us to be able to put those things aside, that we would truly focus upon what the Holy Spirit wants to say to us. Lord, I pray that we won't be so involved in doing church today that we miss out on what you have to say to each and every one of us. So Lord, we're tuning in to you. We're asking you to help us as we do that. Speak to our hearts. Draw us close to you. Win those over, Father, who don't know you. And Lord, we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Let's make sure we hadn't forgot. Amen. There we go. God is good. And all the time, God really, really is good. If you have your Bible this morning, go ahead and turn with me, if you would, to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1. Now, as we begin to think about the passages that are going to be coming forth today, I want us to think for just a moment about prayer. You know, I titled this morning's message, Prayer Request versus Prayer Burden. Now, we've probably heard a lot over our lifetime, whether through Sunday school, if you had a chance or an opportunity to grow up in a church setting, or for somebody to share with you, maybe you were discipled if you didn't have a chance to grow up in a church-type environment. And there were some questions maybe you had about praying as you come in the presence of the Lord, and somebody gave you a really good academic definition of prayer. And I'm not saying that that's necessarily a bad thing. You know, there are different kinds of prayer. There are prayers of intercession when we take prayer requests and we go to the Lord on behalf of someone else. There are prayers that the Lord told us and His Word taught us how to pray. He taught His disciples, and then we have the Lord's Prayer. That is an outline. That is a model for how we should pray. But I want us to look a little bit beyond how we should pray this morning into why we pray this morning. Now, I'm sure, or at least I hope, that each and every one of us at some point, at least up to this point in your day, had a chance and had an opportunity to go to the Lord in prayer. Even if it was to say, Lord, I want to thank you today that I opened my eyes and I have another chance to serve you. Lord, I want to thank you today that I have my eyesight and I can see, even though it's a little foggy and I can't see far, I can still see. I can look upon my family. Lord, I want to thank you today that I had food on the table and I had breakfast this morning. Lord, I want to thank you for coffee. And all God's coffee drinkers said, hallelujah. Get our kickstart going. There are so many things for us to be thankful for. There are so many things that we can pray about, but I want to challenge your prayer life here in just a few moments. I'm praying that this challenge will be one that not only will you take on, but it will be one that you will take on for life, because there is a difference in how we pray about different things. You know, those things that I mentioned to you this morning, you probably felt pretty good about. Yeah, I did that. I thank you, Lord. Thank you that we're here. Thank you that we're in a nice, warm place. I thank you that I can see. I thank you for my body. We think about all those things, and those are good things to think about. But now let me ask you this question. Has there been a time in your life, and I'm sure there probably has, when you went to God in a desperate prayer? You desperately needed God to answer a prayer for you. How many of you can say, I've been there in my life? Whether it was a circumstance, whether it was a health condition or whatever, lots of hands that we see. Now, here's what I want you to think about. Did you pray the same way for that situation that you prayed for other situations? And I would be willing to bet that the answer to that would be no. Your prayer was different. Your prayer was because of a sense of burden. Now, that didn't necessarily have to be simply just because of you. That could be a prayer burden for somebody that you have in your life, your children. Some of you have prayed desperate, burdened prayers over your children. Back in the days, you know, like I say, I don't consider myself old, but I'm being reminded that I'm a little bit older as time goes by. I mean, I can remember the times when we didn't have the medical science that we have today, and I was a croup baby. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, it sounded like I said, I would get croup a lot when I was growing up. And man, that can be a dangerous situation. Well, you couldn't just pick up and run to the hospitals and have treatment for things like that. So I know that there were times that there was desperate prayer on my behalf from my parents. And it wasn't just one of those, well, Lord, thank you for the food. Hallelujah, let's go on. Not that that's not important. But it was a different kind of prayer. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You understand when you have prayed a desperate prayer. Brother, when you've been driving down the road in a war-torn situation, your prayers are different than they are when you're driving down 68. Maybe not as bad, but they're definitely a little bit different, aren't they? Because the danger that is presented is far different than a typical highway situation. When you could run over an explosive at any moment and alter or end your life, you pray differently. So I think you get the picture at what I'm talking about there. Now, I want us to look at an example this morning of a desperate prayer. I want us to look at an example this morning, and we've probably seen it before, but never have looked at it in this particular light. But look with me, if you would, at the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 1. As we begin to get into these particular verses, we know that there was a fella. It says in verse 1, like I said, I'm not going to start at verse 1, but it talks about, you know, how he was from the mountains of Ephraim. His name was Elkanah, and Elkanah had two wives. Now, history will show the reason that he had two wives is because he had one wife that was barren, that could not have children. Now, that is a little bit of a different story today than it was back in these particular days. If in the Old Testament days, women were socially outcast if they didn't have children. Women in and of themselves felt like they did not fulfill their responsibility as a woman if they were not able to bring forth children. There was the importance of the legacy that would be left from the husband and the family name as it went down. So Elkanah had another wife because one of his wives could not have children. Now, I have another message that will be completely for a different day today, but there will probably be people that will hear this message this morning who understand exactly what Hannah felt like. You know what it's like. Not able to have children, wanting to be able to put your arms around the gift of a child and can't do it. You know the deep-seated feelings that Hannah was going through. Even though you aren't as looked at as a social outcast in our day and age, there's some personal feelings that go along with not being able to have children. So we have the background of the story. Elkanah, he's got two wives. One has children, the other does not. And what would happen would be there was a little bit of picking that would go on. There was competition between these two, but let's just go to verse 3 and pick it up from there. Verse 3, 1 Samuel chapter 1, beginning at verse 3 says, "This man, Elkanah, went up from his city yearly to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. Also the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Pinhas, the priest of the Lord, were there." Verse 4, "And whenever the time came for Elkanah to make an offering, he would give portions to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah, although the Lord had closed her womb." Now, at this particular point, we can understand, you know, her husband is sensitive to her need. She's not able to have children, understands that it is a big deal, not only for society, but it is a big deal for her. And he would try to send her a little bit more of a blessing. It says that he would give her a double portion. Now, look at verse 6. It says, "And her rival," that would be that way if you had two wives, wouldn't it? There would be a rival. All right. "Her rival also provoked her seriously." So his Elkanah's other wife would essentially poke fun or pick at Hannah. "I have children and you don't. Na 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 na. Hey, look. Check this out. Look at the hair he's got now. We could part it on the side." All these things were done, not in a kind way. Notice verse 6 again. It says, "And her rival also provoked her severely to make her miserable." This was done on purpose. To make her miserable, verse 6, "because the Lord had closed her womb." In other words, she was being picked on simply because of something that was out of her control. And yet it was done in a serious manner because they were in competition for the affection of their husband.
Verse 7. And so it was year by year when she went up to the house of the Lord that she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Hannah is in a situation where her heart is broken. She has been picked on. She has been made fun of. She already feels inferior simply because she is not able to have children and supply a man-child son for her husband to carry that family name on. And she feels completely useless. And notice what it says. It says that year by year, verse 7, she also went up to the house of the Lord that she provoked her. Therefore, she wept and did not eat. How many of you have ever been in a circumstance or a situation where something was so heavily on your heart and heavily on your mind that it changed the whole dynamic of your life? It changed how you looked, it changed your countenance, and you just had no appetite at all. I mean, there were probably people around you who were sitting there going, man, you got to eat something, you know. I'm worried about that. They begin to get worried about you because of the toll that this thing, whatever it may be, is taking on you. Now, Hannah was in the same situation. She is upset. She is feeling very, very down on herself. And everything, she is looking at this whole circumstance and situation and say, life has just eroded. You know the picture. I'm useless. I'm not worth anything. Why would anybody want to have anything to do with me? I can't fulfill my responsibilities, you know, as a wife. And her heart is, and it says, and she wept. There were tears, and she wasn't eating at all. Verse 8 says, then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why do you weep? Husbands can sometimes be a little bit thick right here, can't we? I can just picture this playing out. Well, Hannah, what's wrong, honey? The same thing that's been wrong. The same thing that caused you to get another wife. The same thing that makes me feel inferior. The same thing. What is the matter with you? Open your eyes up. Elkanah, her husband, said, Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? Now, granted, he's probably concerned about her. He's noticed these things, and he's noticed that something's wrong with her, and he's trying in his husbandly best way he can to figure out what it is. Guys, we don't really win in those situations, do we? Now, I'm not trying to say that's bad, ladies, but listen, if you ever get it figured out, we'll write books and we'll go on the circuit and we'll retire wealthy, right? So in his weak way, he is trying to tend to her as best he can, and he does so by saying, what's wrong? How come you're crying, and why aren't you eating? Why is your heart grieved? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? You know what that says right there? That says he knew exactly why she was under the stress and why she was crying and why she wasn't eating. He answered his own question when he said to her, well, why are you this way? Now look at the latter part of verse 8. It says, am I not better to you than 10 sons? Why would he say that? Because he knew that she desired to be able to present to him a son. He knew exactly what was wrong with her. And then he's trying to cheer her up, and he is failing horribly and failing miserably. Man, am I not better to you than 10 sons? Look, I'm going to take care of you, honey. It's going to be all right. You don't need a son to take care of you. I got this. Guys, we mess up. We try, don't we? We crash and burn most of the time, don't we? Do you think that's really what she wanted to hear? Oh, thank you so much, honey. Now I don't fear for anything going on in the future because I know that you're going to take care of me. That was not the problem. It was deeper than that. It was more than that. Verse 9 says this, so Hannah arose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord. They went to church. They went down to do the sacrifices like they normally would do. Now notice verse 10. As she went to the tabernacle, verse 10 says, and she was bitter in bitterness of soul. Can you relate to that? Do you understand what bitterness of soul means? You, listen, some of you may have walked into the house of the Lord today with bitterness in your soul. Now, that doesn't mean that you're necessarily bitter towards somebody else, but there is this thing that is going on, and you cannot understand why, and your life is turned completely upside down, and it's made you bitter. The circumstance has that bitter taste to it, and you've done a really good job at coming in and hiding it. You come in and you play the game of church on Sunday. You look around and everybody looks around and everybody thinks everybody's life is perfect, don't we? We come in and we sit back and go, well, I'll tell you one thing. I wish I had their life. They got it made. I wish I was like them. I wish I could do this and I wish I could do that. Why can't I do these things? Oh, either that or we put on the facade of smiling and shaking hands and making everybody think, see, feel, and believe that about us. Now, here's the thing I want us to know. Every one of us have these situations in our life, often daily. And there is a bitterness of soul. Hannah, it says in verse 10, was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. You ever been there? Have you ever been to that situation where you got down on your hands and knees and you prayed so fervently in the midst of the bitterness of what was taking place in your life and there was tears that were coming out of your eyes? You were crying out to God. You weren't just saying, Lord, take care of this situation. Let's move on. No. You were desperately crying out to God to intervene in the situation, to do something. And most of us, I can promise you, if you followed the Lord for any amount of time whatsoever, you have been there. You have cried out to God in desperation and in bitterness and said, Lord, I need you to change these circumstances. I need you to work in them. I need you to work in me. I need you to work here. I need you to work there. And you have done so with fervency. And that's where Hannah was in her situation. It says she wept in anguish. Then she did something that we do very often. Now remember, she has gone to the tabernacle. She is praying there. She is praying this type of fervent prayer. Now, if you were around and your gaze just happened to come across Hannah and you saw this, would you know that there was something that was on her heart and on her mind that was important? Yes, you would. You have seen somebody pray before where maybe you walked in on them and you knew the depth of the prayer that they were praying. You knew what was going on and you were kind of like, I'm going to ease back out of the room, because they didn't even know you were there. They were so connected with God at that particular moment. Maybe that's been you. I hope at least somewhere along the way that it's been you, that you have been so connected with God, you had no idea what was going on around you. Now, I'm not going to preach this sermon today, but let me ask, when's the last time you've been so connected to God that you didn't know what was going on around you? So picture Hannah now. She's there. She went to the right place. She was going to the Lord. She was going to the one who many would blame back in that day. So you got to remember, folks, that in that day when women were barren, it was often said that it was because of some terrible sin in their life, and that's the reason they couldn't have children. So they would be looked on, Hannah would be looked on as some terrible sinner, and that there was something in her life, and there was some reason that God was not allowing her to have a child. You know how it is. You know, it's kind of when they walk by, that's that one I was telling you about, her. I wonder what she did that was so bad. And that was not the case at all. But as she is at the tabernacle and as she is crying out to the Lord, she did something in verse 10 that we often, or verse 11, that we're often guilty of doing. Verse 11 says, then she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all of the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. Let's make a deal. Lord, if you'll do this, if you'll give me a male child, I'll give him back to you. I'll raise him right. I'll treat him right. And we would look at that and say, well, that's not a bad prayer. But see, here's how we do that. Lord, if you get me through this, I'll teach Sunday school for the next 5 years. Lord, if you get me through this, I promise I'll actually show up to church on a regular, consistent basis. Have you ever prayed prayers like that? Now, I'm not asking you if you've prayed those. Have you prayed prayers like that before? You've played let's make a deal with God. Nobody wants to raise their hand to that one, do you? Everybody's like, oh, not me. Oh, I've never done that. Yes, you have. Lord, if you'll only do this for me, I'll do that for you. Folks, God is not trying to get us to play let's make a deal. God's grace is evident. God is not asking us to do something for him so that he can do something for us. But yet we want to ask him to do that. But Hannah made a vow. Hannah said this. She said, Lord, if you will give me a male child, I'll give him back. I'll give him back to you that he can serve you. That he will be there. No razor shall come upon his head. So she's making promises. She's desperately crying out. And usually it's in the moments of desperation that we do these type things. But you notice what it says. It says she made a vow. A vow was something that was taken very seriously in that day, unlike in this day. A vow meant something then. So what will we see in verse 12? It says, and it happened as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli watched her mouth. Now Hannah spoke in her heart only. Her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she was drunk. Now isn't that a nice picture? Here is Hannah pouring out her heart to the Lord. And you know, it's a private thing that's going on. Everybody knew, but she wasn't wanting to sit there and say, look, everybody, I'm going to take this prayer corner over here, and I'm going to pray about my barrenness. Y'all just go on and do your thing. No. She was praying fervently. She was praying out of desperation. And as she prayed, and you've probably seen this before, somebody that has bowed their head, and as they pray, it says they're praying in their heart, but their lips are moving. You may have seen it before when somebody's going. And you don't see, you're not hearing the words coming out, but you're seeing them moving their lips. Now here is Eli. The priest sees her. And instead of coming over saying, well, honey, you look like you're in a really tough situation. How can I help you? What can I do to help you? He basically said, man, you need to get out of here. You're drunk. That's kind, isn't it? I mean, let's put this in perspective. Let's just say that you came here today with a desperate situation on your heart, and you showed up before all the lights, before all the cameras, before all the radio stations, before everything, and all of a sudden, I walked in. The pastor walked into the church, and you were up here, and you were kneeling at an altar, and I see your lips moving, and I come up there and say, what's the matter with you? Don't you know there's going to be people coming in here in just a few minutes? We're going to have church here in a little while. We got to get set up. You are drunk. Go home. That wouldn't sit well, would it? That's not reaching out to the needs that people have. Good old Eli. Leave it to him. Now, you could take the position of Hannah and say, well, the whole world seems to be against me. Nobody seems to want to have anything to do with me. And everybody, I can't even at church, people don't do like they're supposed to. Well, folks, let me give you a reality. You're right. Even in church, people don't do what they should. But let me show you the difference. That didn't stop Hannah, because Hannah wasn't putting her trust in men. Hannah was putting her trust in God, who is well able. Now, here's a really cool part. We serve the same God Hannah served. And you'll probably hear me say that another time or two before we get done with this particular passage and with this particular message. It says, Hannah spoke, verse 13, in her heart, and only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard in Eli. Therefore, Eli thought she was drunk. And he told her, how long will you be drunk? Put your wine away from you. Rather judgmental statement, given the time, wasn't it? But I love what Hannah said to him and how she responded. In verse 15, she responded. It says, but Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. She told him, I'm not drunk, but I have poured out my heart and my soul before God Almighty in His presence in the tabernacle. I'm not drunk. I'm pouring out my heart. You've been there. Pouring your heart out to God, desperate to see Him do something. Listen, that's not just a prayer request, is it? That's deeper than that. She goes on in verse 16 and says, do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I have spoken until now. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition which you have asked of Him. Now, don't you find it a little odd that Hannah didn't tell Eli what the petition was? She didn't say, I'm just pouring out my heart to God because I don't have children. She just said, I'm pouring out my heart to God. And Eli, the priest, remember those who had the ear of God in the days of the Old Testament, pre-Jesus, said, go ahead and go. And the God of Israel, verse 17, grant your petition which you have asked of Him. In other words, she said, okay, you're saying God's going to answer my prayer. God's going to take care of this. God is going to do this. Now notice what she did, verse 18. This is how she reacted to that. Now some of us would have said, who are you? I mean, honestly, if you make it a modern day scenario, that would be like you coming down, crying out before the altar, asking God to do some things, and then meeting with the pastor, and the pastor says, go with God, child. Your prayers are going to be answered. I'm 100% sure your prayers are going to be answered. And I don't even know what they were. What would you say? You're like, you don't even know what I prayed for. You don't know how big of a deal this is. You don't know how big of a task this is. Let me tell you what I know. I've seen God do some incredible things. And God has allowed me to experience in one similar to this. I remember a decade or more ago on a mission trip in Cuba. And you know, we were going around, and one of the things we love to do is we love to have the opportunity to pray for and with pastors that are serving there. And we would meet with them as a group, but just us at our group, and meet with them in private. And we would say, listen, what is it that we could pray for you about? And we make those prayer requests, and we pray for them. I still remember going to one of the pastor's houses and said, well, brother, you know, what is it that we can pray for you about? And he said, well, my wife and I have been trying to have children for 17 years. Will you pray for God to give us a child? What would you say in that situation? What would you think and how would you feel in that situation? You know, most of us would probably sit back and say, well, that wasn't exactly what I had in mind. Give us something easy to do, something we can write down here. Give us something that might actually happen. That's kind of what our thinking is. You know why? Because our faith is lacking. But even though we knew that was a tall order, our group gathered around that pastor and his wife, and we simply asked, God, smile upon them. Give them a child. We know you can do it. Did we really believe that God was going to do that? Yes, we did. not because of who we are, not because we were trying to convince God to do something that wasn't part of his plan, but because we knew he was able, and we cried out believing. And guess what happened? 9 months later, Elizabeth was born. She's a teenager now. I guess it's been more than a decade then. That will forever stand as a marker in my life of desperation for crying out to God. Listen, it wasn't because of us. I promise you it wasn't because of us. But God showed us something really, really interesting. Now, boy, they thought it was because of us, didn't they? All of a sudden, they was bringing people from across Cuba for us to pray for. Listen, we don't have any special power. Only God does. Verse 18 says, and she said, let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman went away and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Let me tell you what happened at that particular point. When the prophet told her that, or when the priest told her that, you know what happened? She believed it. And she said, I'm going to have a child. Even though she wasn't anywhere near the pregnancy or anything else, she left that day with pep in her step, joy in her heart, and peace in her mind that God was going to grant the request. It says, so what she did was she got up, all of a sudden her countenance changed. She went and she had a meal, and she was going, before long, Junior's going to be here. And I can say Junior because that's going to be a man child. How do I know it's going to be a male child? Because that's what I asked for. Was that significant? Yes, it was. She knew it. She went away with faith that God was going to be able to answer her prayer. Now, in the midst of your desperation prayer, here's my question for you. Are you praying believing that God not only can, that he will intervene in your situation? And that he will intervene in your circumstance. Do you? Do you believe that way? Is that paramount? Is it a prayer request? Is what's going on in your heart a prayer request? Or is it a prayer burden? Because there's definitely a difference between those two things. Drop down to verse 20. It says, and so it came to pass in the process of time that Hannah conceived and bore a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked for him from the Lord. It happened. God answered the desperation prayer of this lady. Now, I come to this particular point, and I also think about when we think about Hannah's prayer, I think about that New Testament passage where, if you remember, the persistent widow who went and went to the judge, and she was saying, avenge my avenger, and he's like, nah, can't do it. And she kept on, and she kept on, and she kept on, and she went back, and she went back, and she went back. And actually, the scripture says this. It says, the judge said, I'm going to grant her request, because she's driving me crazy. I am going to give her what she wants because she is here three times a day asking for the same thing. But then see how that passage ends. It says this, will the Son of Man find that kind of faith when he returns? Are we praying with that kind of faith in the midst of our situations of desperation? Now, most of you know, as this passage goes on, what Hannah did. She kept the vow that she said. You know, as Samuel was weaned, she actually took him there. She gave him over to the temple to serve the priest there. As you follow up, it says she would go up every year. I could just see Mama would make him a little coat. She would make sure his wardrobe was all right. But she held up her end of the bargain. She held up her end of the vow. She said, Lord, if you give me a man child, I'll give him back to you. I'll let him serve in the temple. I'll let him serve you all the days of his life. I will make sure that he does that. God did it, and so did she. Are we praying prayers of burden? Now, I could go on with this, but I don't think I need to. I do, however, want to issue a challenge to each and every one of us. It is time for us to do some burden praying for our church and for our country. I'm challenging you to do that. Before long, I've been talking with Stan this past week. In the month of April, we are looking to have an opportunity to be able to come by the Lord's house. Not that God doesn't meet you where you are, but to me, there's always something special about coming by His place and having that appointment with Him. We're going to give folks time. There's some things that we want to pray for, not as a prayer request, but as a burden. I believe that in the United States of America, part of this pandemic has been so God can disassemble His church so that He can build it back up the way He wants it to be. Because we've been doing God's work our way for too long. Now it is time to do God's work God's way. And we will cry out and we will seek His face as to what He would want us to do. We will not allow the burden of today rob us of the blessing for tomorrow. I'm encouraging each and every one of us to begin to burden pray for our church. Not, oh yeah, Lord, and thank you for Central Baptist, and bless my pastor. Now, I'm not saying don't say that, but I'm saying say it from here instead of from here. Lord, the boy needs you. He's a little thick. He's a little dense. He needs your help, so you're going to have to reveal it to him. And I want to tell you, it's all right for you to pray that way. The simpler, the better. I've always been that guy, and I've shared this with you many times before, but I've always been that guy that when it comes down to looking at those, remember those like three-dimensional type color things that you can go look at and you're supposed to see some image in it. If you look at it the right way, like with one eye in focus and one, I don't know. Everybody's going, oh, I see a unicorn. All I see is a blob of something that looked like it was done back in the 70s, if you're picking up what I'm putting down. It's all one-dimensional to me. I mean, literally, there were times when I would pick it up, you know, and when they weren't looking, and I'd go, because somebody told me that would work, and by the way, it does, because I finally got to the point where I could pick it up, and I'd go, oh, there it is, and then lose it that quick. But they seem to see things so much quicker and better than me. Listen, you need to pray that God will remove all the color art so that the pastor can see the direction that God wants us to go, because I believe He's got a tremendous future planned for our church as well as all the other churches. But what He had to do first was He had to take down all the castles that we've built by hand on this earth. We're coming into a new day, coming into a new age. And the Lord says, you know what? All you really need is my word and some good prayer partners, and we can change this world. We don't need all the fancy stuff. It's been nice. The technology's been nice. We could use that to our advantage. But listen, we shouldn't be dependent upon that in what God has called us to do. But we need to pray like Hannah in desperation. God, wake us up. God, shake us. And listen, you better be prepared when you pray a prayer like that, because when you do, He will shake you to the bone. Coming up, we're going to be laying it out this month, but coming up in April, during the week, we're going to give you time and times to come by here desperately seeking God. Listen, you can pray for yourself. Some people say, I don't like to pray for myself. You ought to pray for yourself. I ask God, bless me. I want you to bless me. I want you to bless me indeed. I want you to bless me abundantly. Lord, help me today to disseminate your word to people that need to hear it. Lord, bless me. I want you praying for me too. And I want us to pray for each other. You know why? Because the greatest thing that we've seen, you go back and look at the book of Acts, You know what was so great about the book of Acts? We'll be talking about that as we go forward. Everybody loved one another as they came together. Can we love one another as we should? Can we really make this a place where people sense and feel God's love no matter where they are in life's journey, no matter where they are on their spiritual journey? Some of you in here are biblical scholars. Some of you are not. But yet you shouldn't feel inferior around those who know. What you should do is you should glean from those who know. And listen, those of you who know don't need to walk around like a college professor going, "I've got this." That's what coming together is about. It's about fellowshipping. And man, listen, I've said this before, COVID has taken that completely off the table, but it's about doing life together for the common cause of Jesus Christ. You know what? That might be the only thing some of us have in common is that we're believers. Somebody might come up to me and say, "Roy, I'll tell you one thing, I am an artist. Do you like art? I like it. Can you draw? I can put you the best stick man you ever saw, but I can't do that." So I'm not necessarily spending my time there, but I'm going to appreciate what you can do. And I'm going to find a way for you to be able to do that for the glory of God right here. Folks, it's time for us to get up. It's time for us to realize that what God's given us can be used for His honor and for His glory. And we need new marching orders. The old is not cutting it anymore. And I think that's exactly why God has placed us, and I mean us, church, nationwide, worldwide, in the positions that He has to strip us of all of the reliances we've had in the past so that we can get back to the simplistic basics of Jesus crucified, buried, resurrected, and coming again. We don't need a bunch of fluff. Here's what we need. We don't need to try to disguise it. We just need to preach it. The Word speaks for itself. The Holy Spirit convicts. We don't need to try to make it better and faster and stronger. We don't need to have concerts with flash pods and major lighting. God said, give me a small group of people in His Word. Let me tell you something. I have seen God move stronger in some of the places that you wouldn't have even thought He would have ever moved because He created an environment and an atmosphere by which to do so. I've said when we're on the mission trips, we're like Gilligan's Island. No phone, no light, no motor car. Guess what we had? We had each other. And because we had each other, we spent time with each other. And we've poured our hearts out to each other. And we have prayed for one another. And we have drawn closer together in a one-week period of time. Would to God that His church could do that every week. And forget the pettiness and come together for His honor, for His glory. It is time for us to pray desperately, not just out of request. You understand the desperation of prayer when you have a loved one who is in the hospital on death's door. You pray differently than you did before that for them. And you cry out to your brothers and sisters and ask them to pray desperately like you are praying for their loved one. And the question is, do we do that? I'm going to ask Jim and Amy if they would come on up and take their place. In just a moment, we're going to have a time of invitation. But as we consider our relationship, as we consider our prayer this morning, my question for you, first of all, is, have you begun that relationship with our Father? Have you had that time when you have understood that you are a sinner and that you need a Savior and you have cried out to Him? Does God know you by name? He calls me by name. Does He know you by name? I hope and pray so. Listen, if not, and the call of the Holy Spirit in your life right now is towards salvation, then I'm simply going to ask you right now to just bow your head where you are and say, "Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Forgive my sin. Save my soul. In Jesus' name, Now, if you bet that with all your heart, I can make you the promise that he did. People go, well, that's easy. Yeah, it is easy. It's so easy a child can understand it, but yet we try to complicate it. And maybe you're here today and you have become mundane. You might have become mundane in your prayer life. You may have even become discouraged and defeated in your prayer life because you have looked and you have said, God doesn't seem to be hearing me and God doesn't seem to be answering my prayers. Folks, maybe God's telling you just to hold on for a while. Most of the time, the greatest things that he does in our lives come through the fiery furnaces that we have to walk through. And maybe you haven't learned what God wants you to learn in the midst of the furnace before he can deliver you from it. So instead of getting mad, instead of getting bitter, and instead of getting upset, why don't you be like Hannah and say, okay, look, God has said he's going to deliver me. God said he'll walk with me through this thing. I'm going to get up. I'm going to eat. I'm going to wash my face. I'm going to get on with life. Maybe you need to surrender that area of your life back to him today. If that's you, then I simply ask you to pray, Lord Jesus, forgive me for my attitude. Help me, Lord, in faith to grow, trusting you to do what is good and what is right. Lord, as I desperately cry out to you, hear my prayer and answer it according to your will and not my own. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, if you've done that, you have made the steps in the journey to reconciliation. Before you have made the steps in surrender. Lord, I'm going to do it your way. I'm not going to do it my way. I'm going to do it your way. Just help me to understand what your way is. And even through the valleys of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you are with me. What has God placed in your heart today in regard to the points that he's brought out to you? For just a moment, I'm going to ask that we bow our heads, close our eyes. As Jim and Amy play, you do business with God, and then we'll be back to dismiss. I say, God is good, and all the time, God is good. Sweet hour of prayer, how special that just was in regard to the Lord's scripture today. Spend that time with him. Listen, I'm just going to give you a couple things real quick before we get out of here. We do have a blood drive coming up this Tuesday, March the 2nd, from 2:30 to 7. There are 6 available appointments, most of those after 6, for you to donate blood. Also, we still need one volunteer for the early shift, which is 2 to 5. Another volunteer for the late shift, which is 4:30 to 7:30. If we need some donations, if you could help us out with some drink and snack donations. If you do, these are things that need to be individually wrapped, like your Little Debbie cakes, those sort of things, or canned soda, because we're still following the COVID rules. We don't want anything that has to be essentially touched to be served. But if you could provide some of those things, that would be outstanding. If you are interested in fulfilling any of those spots, please contact either Katie Nelson, or you can contact the church office to get in touch with Katie Nelson. Also, you can look on the Facebook page and the website, which will give you more information about our upcoming blood drive. Also, we want to remind folks that we will have Awana tonight, 5:30 for our youth, 6 o'clock for all other age groups right here in our multi-purpose building. And thank you again for your support. I know this past month really has been it's been crazy as far as church attendance with snow and ice and all kinds of, and I think the long-term forecast is we could snow next Saturday. Is that right? I think I've seen that snow next Saturday. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's fervently pray that it goes right on past and we don't have to deal with it. I'm ready for spring now. I'm tired of this ice and snow. But at any rate, folks, we love you. Don't forget, if you're in this building, offering receptacles is that box back there at the door as you leave. If you are over in our sanctuary, the offering plate's up front. If you're viewing online, you can go to our website, www.oakridgecbc.org. There is a giving tab where you can give electronically. Or if you're around this area during the week, 9 to 4, Monday through Thursday, you can drop it by the office or our mailing address, P.O. Box 533, Oak Ridge, North Carolina, 27310. Now I sound like an auctioneer. Hey, but if I want to be edible, all that information. But listen, it can all be found on our website. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your support. We look forward to continuing to serve the Lord together. We'll look forward to meeting with you this Wednesday evening online as we continue our Bible study in the book of Matthew. Let's all look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, as we come to you now, we're so grateful and so thankful that you hear our prayer. Lord, we also understand that there is a mode of desperate prayer. Lord, I pray that we will become to that point, that we pray desperately for what you would have us to do. Lord, that as we go to you in prayer, we will understand that inside of your will, all things are possible. Father, all things are possible anyway. Help us to trust you when you said that you're going to take care of us, that Lord, you'll walk with us through the storms, that you'll lead us to higher ground no matter what our circumstances are. Lord, help us to truly believe that to the point where our actions show what we believe. Father, thank you so much for answered prayer. Thank you so much for the fact that you still do miracles and you are still on the throne. Lord, I begin right now to ask you to show us some great things about Central Baptist Church as we go forward. Lord, we are desperately crying out to you to be able to bring about ministry your way in this church. Bless each and every person, Lord, the hearer. Bless each and every family for attending today. Show them something special as only you can, as we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you online Wednesday and right here next Sunday.